Check one, check, check two. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're starting right on time today. All right, are you cold? I turned the heat on. Need to bump that heat up a little more? Ronnie, bump that heat up a little more. Oh, no, they're hot. Never mind. If you're cold, grab a blanket, I guess. You're cold? Yeah, amen.
Take a boat.
I'm just right. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. As soon as the service is over, we'll have a kids' a President's Day, Kids Fun Day meeting. So President's Day is tomorrow, so we'll have a President's Day, Kids' Day, Fun Day down here after service. Go over the final details for the President's Day Fun Day, Kids Fun Day tomorrow. And so that'll be immediately after the service today. We do have some birthdays for you. We've got James Woods. His birthday is going to be it's today. So his birthday is today. Happy birthday, James. And then we got Raymond Tosh. His birthday will be tomorrow, the 20th. And then we've got Trey Capps. His birthday is coming up on the 23rd. Cadence Folger is going to have a birthday on the 23rd, and Audrey Folger's got a birthday on the 24th. All right, big days. All right, you'll sing any other birthdays in the house? I get them all. Get them all. All right, very good. Well, let's sing them a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many. We got an announcement.
Okay. Miss Sissy is looking for donations for our chili cook-off for those of us online. But all right, let's stand if you can. We're going to sing We Will Glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Who is the great I Am.
Thank you.
before you as a token of our love. Holy, 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 gracious Father, gracious Father, we're so blessed to be your children, gracious Father, and we lift our heads before you as a token of our love. Gracious Father, gracious Father, precious Jesus, precious Jesus, precious Jesus. We're so glad that you've redeemed us, precious Jesus, and we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts anew, Holy Spirit, and we lift our voice before you as a token of our love, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
All right, praise the Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come here today to worship you and glorify your holy name. We lift you up on high. Lord, we thank for any visitors we got today. We thank you for them, and we ask you to bless them and bless them with the message. And Lord, we just ask you to be with our pastor this morning as he brings the word. Just put that word on his heart and just let that Holy Spirit just flow through this church and touch each and every one of us, Lord. And we pray there's anyone here today that don't know you, Lord, they come forth and give their life to you, Lord. And that's what it's all about, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the word. And Lord, you just give us, we just give you so much little back. You give us so much, and we just give little back to you, Lord. And we just ask you just to bless this offering, Lord, in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. For thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Amen. Do we have anybody going to children's church today? I think we do. Got a few friends. Amen. Very good. All right. Let's give our visitors a round of applause today. Amen. Also, always good to have visitors. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us as well. Amen. And does anybody know what this is right here? You know what that is? That's a dryer sheet. That thing was in my right pants leg, and I didn't know it. I got out of the truck this morning, and I thought I had a herd of spiders crawling up my legs. I tell you what, I danced a jig all the way to the front door, trying to get that thing, and then didn't know what it was, and then finally saw it down there at the foot, and I thought, oh, I know what that is. I haven't been bit repeatedly. Amen. Well, if you'll take a copy of God's Word, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. I'll invite you to stand and honor the reading of this holy and inerrant Word, and we'll begin picking it up here at verse 14, and we'll take it all the way through 30. Kind of a long passage to read, but we'll get through it. Amen? If you found Matthew 25 beginning in verse 14, would you say, glory, hallelujah? All right, let's read it then today. Matthew 25. Those of you with me online, those of you with me here, beginning in verse 14, it says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. "See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we are thankful for your word today. Lord, we pray that we would get the gist, that we would get the heart of the matter of this passage, and that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would drive it home within us, and God, bring about the change that perhaps needs to happen in our own personal lives so that we might be able to bring glory and honor to you. Lord, in the midst of this preaching of this parable, preaching about this second coming, Lord, there may be someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we pray that through the preaching of this gospel today, that they would fall under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to a point that they could not shake it. And Lord, come the conclusion of this message, of this worship service here this morning, when we enter into that time of invitation, Lord, that would be their opportunity to come down and inquire what it means to receive Christ as one's personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we give you the glory for what you want to do today. Thank you for using us in spite of us. And, Father God, we are thankful that we are still in the age of grace. Thank you for forgiveness, your mercy, and, Lord, second chances. So we love you today, and we praise you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of his holy and inerrant word, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, the question is, what kind of manager are you? I mean, really what it comes down to. Now, this is a powerful parable about the second coming. I mean, we're in this section of Scripture here in the last part of the Gospel of Matthew 24 and 25. It's all about the second coming of Christ. You believe Jesus is coming back, yes? Second coming. It's also, this parable is about our responsibility. We have responsibilities, right? It's not all unicorns and rainbows. It's not all about sitting in neutral and just strumming the harp. I mean, we have some responsibility to do the work of the Lord, not to earn our salvation, but because we are saved. Yes? Amen? This is also a powerful parable about how you can multiply your God-given potential. When you understand this truth, just a little potential can be transformed into a huge possibility. Now, let me share with you an example. Around the turn of the 20th century, going into the 1890s and to the early 1900s, there was a lady by the name, a Christian woman by the name of Martha Berry. She had a passion to teach and train poor children in northern Georgia. And so she set out to do that. These kids had no access to education, and she was trying to give them that access. So she had no books, she had no building, she had no money. She just had a heart and a dream to help little underprivileged kids. So she started doing what? She started teaching Sunday school to children in an abandoned church in none other, I love the name of this town, Possum Trot, Georgia. Now, this weekly class, Sunday school class, became a daily class. And then it later grew into a boarding school for boys. And though she only had 5 boarders, she saw the need and the potential. As the school was trying to get off the ground about the year 1916, she knew that she was going to have some donations. She knew that she was going to have a large donor. So Martha Berry, she traveled from Possum Trot all the way to Detroit, Michigan around the year 1916 to ask multimillionaire Henry Ford, God rest his soul, to make a donation to expand her school. Now check this out. She boldly asked him to donate $1 million. 1916 dollars. Economists tell us that that is worth over $27 million today. She asked, can you imagine going to some billionaire, and asking for $27 million? She asked for $1 million, which would be worth that. Henry Ford, you can imagine, was tired of listening to requests for money. So he reached into his pocket and he said, here's a dime. It's all the money I got in my pocket, but you can have it. Now, in today's dollars, that would be $2.70, right, if you're keeping up, right? Martha Barry could have been insulted. Martha Barry could have been discouraged. Martha Barry could have stomped her feet, thrown the dime, and stormed out. But instead, she used Ford's dime, that one dime, to buy seeds to plant a peanut crop. She's living in Georgia, right? She used that first harvest to plant more peanuts. And Martha Barry faithfully sent Henry Ford detailed accounting of each year's harvest. Well, as the years rolled by, Ford was so impressed that he finally visited the Barry School, and he eventually donated the $1 million. Amen, hallelujah. He went on to build the Ford buildings on campus, which are a cluster of Gothic buildings still in use today. Martha Barry died in 1942, but because of her incredible management, Barry College near Rome, Georgia, lives on. It's a private four-year college based on Christian principles that averages some 2,100 students enrolled, and it has the largest campus of any college, not in the United States, but in the world, sitting on over 27,000 acres. Now, it's an amazing story about a woman who took a dime and multiplied it into a reality for teaching young people. Well, that's just what's going on in our parable, friend. That's exactly what's going on in the parable. The master took off on his journey, and the slaves went to work. Now, we don't know exactly what they did, but let's use our imagination, right? Let's imagine that the first slave, he took his 5 talents, which scholars tell us that's $500,000. He took his 5 talents and he started investigating ways to invest it. He noticed an olive tree grove on the adjacent property of his master's, and so he negotiated and secured the purchase of this olive tree grove and started his own first century olive oil production facility, right? Eventually, he doubled his master's money. What about slave number two? Well, slave number two, he's no slouch. He took his 2 talents, 200 grand. He took his 200,000 and invested in oil lamps, wicks, and goat milk production. Amen. He diversified, right? Adding all the revenue up from the sale of the lamps, the wicks, and goat's milk, he had doubled his master's money as well. And then there is slave number three. He was lazy. And he thought the master was a cruel man. So he was afraid of losing the money. So this slave, he went and he dug a hole and hid the talent. He was a play it safe kind of guy. Now, likewise, each of us has been given resources from God. And in light of this passage, I want to share with you 4 truths about this parable that I want to challenge you to embrace. Embrace these 4 things. If you will do this, you are on your way to turning your God-given potential into amazing possibilities. Are you with me? It doesn't matter if you're 20, 40, 60, 80. Embrace these things. Number one, maybe a news flash for some of you. Maybe just old hat. You may already know this. But number one, you own nothing. Absolutely nothing. You own nothing. You only manage resources for God. Somebody say amen to that. That is the truth. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Now, I've already mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. Talent here is talking about money. It's talking about resources, money. Now, some of you may have heard this passage preached where the talent is ability. Everybody has different ability. That's why they got different amounts of money, right? But it's about money. Now, my wife, she records these two shows, and then she tries to sometimes catch up in watching them. One of the shows is America's Got Talent, right? And the other show is The Masked Singer. Well, that one's kind of a trip, The Masked Singer. Now, I'm here to tell you, in trying to go to sleep while she's trying to catch up on some of her shows, I can attest there are some Americans that have talent, and there are some that don't. Amen? And I can also attest on The Masked Singer, sometimes the producers, they go out and find some folks, men or women, that could not carry a tune in a bucket. Boy, when I'm about halfway, I'm about halfway out, they bring one of them Masked Singers in that really can't sing about my level. That stirs me from the depths of almost going to sleep. I'm like, what? Who is there a calf dying in a hailstorm somewhere I don't know about? What's going on? Amen, right? But I assure you, a study of the language, a study of the context reveals that we are dealing with money. You got it? Now, as I've already mentioned, some commentators suggest each talent was worth about $100,000. So the master placed a lot of trust in his slaves to give them the large amount of money to manage. Notice that the master's not a socialist. He's a capitalist. One got five, one got two, one got one, based on ability, right? If the parable is about money, then get the application of all of this. The application is about managing all the resources, one more time, all the resources that God has given you. You with me? In addition to your money, God has given you health, and He's given you time, and He's given you talent, and He's given you energy, and He's given you abilities, and He's given you influence, and He's given you relationships. So this parable is not just about money management, it's about life management. Biblical life management starts with acknowledging that everything I have is a gift from God. Listen to Brother James pray when he prays for the offering. It's all from God. I don't own anything. I just manage God's stuff. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, you know, Pastor, that's your perspective. You're entitled to that. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible clearly teaches that God owns it all. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth, and all that is in it." Psalm chapter 50, verse 10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills." Psalm chapter 50, verse 12 says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you." That's what he says. "For the world is mine and all it contains." And then finally, Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, that minor prophet says this, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts." So the question to you, do we really believe God owns everything? See, when you get to your residence today, wherever the Lord allows you to live, God lets you live in that place. Why don't you try saying out loud when you get home today? Out loud, not under your breath, not in a prayer. Say it out loud. Everybody can hear you. Make that cat turn around and look up at you. Say, what are you talking about, man? Yeah. Why don't you try saying, I'm in God's house, sitting in His chair, about to eat His food or watch His flat screen TV, right? And I know what some of you are thinking. Preacher, I thought I left my house to come to God's house. Well, not so much. You left God's house to come to God's house, right? He owns all the houses. You got here in God's vehicle. Yes? Amen? And you are wearing God's clothes today. Yes, yes? And hopefully you all used some of God's good soap and water either last night or this morning. Amen? Yes? Amen? You with me? So far, you own nothing. You only manage resources for God. Number two, we're talking about four things we need to embrace. Number two, you will face in the future a comprehensive audit. It's coming. Verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. I've already said it. I'll say it again. This parable, and you said you agree, this parable is about the second coming. And Jesus has been gone for a long time. But friend, he will return. And when he does, we're going to face a divine audit. One day, we are going to stand before the Lord and give an account for how we manage the resources God has given us. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, "So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." Now, I believe, as many other scholars do, that the Bema Seat of Christ, the very Bema Seat of Christ for the Christian, is where it all happens for us. At the Bema Seat, all will be revealed. Nothing will be left undiscovered or undisclosed. It will all be on the table. All of it. Now, as Christians, people fake a lot of stuff as Christians. Now, has anyone been audited by the IRS up in here? Anybody? All right, got a couple hands going up. God bless you folks. Amen. What a hassle to produce all your tax returns and receipts and bank statements and canceled checks. Now, as a Christian, you can fake prayer. You can fake Bible study. You can fake going to church. But they cannot fake what that bank and credit card statements and what those cash receipts reveal in an IRS audit. An IRS audit is not a scary thing if you've paid your taxes. Now, my prayer for you is, if you ever get audited, we've had a couple of hands go up in here that say they have. My prayer for you is that if you ever get audited, that you've paid too much taxes, amen? And that you're going to get some more back. That's my prayer for you. But our first two servants in our passage, you know what? They did not mind being audited. The question is, how about you, friend? How about you? See, the great question asked, the great question inferred by Christ at the Bema Seat will be, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? What survives the refiner's fire? What survives the refiner's fire will be what you have to show for your management. Number three. Talking about four things we want to embrace. Number three, your view of God determines how you manage His resources. Now we get to the heart of the matter right here. Look at verse 24 and 25. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." Slave number three blamed his failure on the master's hard character. Now, what kind of person harvests where they did not sow anything? Only thieves harvest where they did not sow. But the third servant reveals his disdain, reveals his, "I don't like the master much," calling Jesus a dishonest cheat. And who does that? Who calls God a cheat? Man, you're crazy calling the Lord a cheat. If you were to ask this servant to describe his master, this third servant with the one talent, he would probably have said, "He's a wicked, lazy man. He doesn't even do his own work. He tries to get us to do his work for him. That's the kind of master he is." The lazy servant, he insulted the character of his master. He allowed his view of the master to justify his failure. Now, have you noticed in your years of experience, when some people fail, It's never their fault, but someone else's. Someone else's. Consider how the first two slaves viewed the same master. They considered their master to be a good businessman who knew how to invest money for a good return. They followed the good example of their master and turned their potential into profit. And the master said about the first two slaves, "Well done, good and faithful slave." If you had these first two slaves to describe their master, I believe they would have said, "He's a good and faithful man." Now, great theologian of yesteryear by the name of A.W. Tozer. Some of you have read him, A.W. Tozer. I've got several of his books. A.W. Tozer has written and said, has been quoted, "What we think about God is the most important thing about us." Let that sink in. What we think about God is the most important thing about us. Let's flesh that out a little bit. If we view God as a tyrant, then we will filter everything through that lens if we view him as a tyrant. Likewise, some of you sitting here today watching me online, you may be secretly angry with God. Why? Why are you angry with God? Because you think he did something. Or he did not do something that you think he should have done for you. And as a result, your view of God is a skewed view. Your preconceived notions prevent you from seeing him as a God of grace. And as a result, you refuse to serve him with what he's given you. Or likewise, when we blame God, we end up burying our blessing when we blame God. Now, let me give you the application. You may have a skewed view of God. Your view of God may be off, may be wrong, may be messed up, right? You have the choice in the matter. You can always change your opinion about God. And friend, when you change it, when you do, your life will change for the better. When you get a biblical view of who God is. Now, our kitchen cabinets, I think we put those in some 7 years ago, or ordered them 7 years ago. They sat in the garage about a year. And then Pastor got them in the house, and then we sprang a leak, and some of them came down. Anyway, our kitchen cabinets are manufactured by this company named American Woodmark. And this company is located in Winchester, Virginia. They're sold under the name Shenandoah. Everybody say that with me? Shenandoah. Isn't that a beautiful name? Lowe's sells them. That's where they're real high-end. Lowe's sells them. Amen. Now, one of the drawers, they all have these soft close features. Stephanie was tired of getting woken up with me slamming the drawers, so they all got soft close on them. So you go to close them, and they go, and then they go, then the brakes go on, and they go, and they close. Well, one of the drawers quit doing that. And I'm thinking, we paid way too much money for them things 7 years ago for it all already be going out. I don't hardly ever use that drawer. Well, what's wrong with that drawer? So I started researching on the YouTube under the name Shenandoah, how to fix my drawer, right? Well, in doing my research on YouTube, this came up. The 1965 film starring Jimmy Stewart, entitled Shenandoah. Amen. I was intrigued. I started watching some of the clips, started studying the movie just a little bit. Jimmy Stewart, he played a Virginia farmer named Charlie Anderson, who tried to keep his family together during the Civil War, set in the Civil War, right? He didn't have much use for God. He never attended church. But his sweet, deceased Christian wife wanted the children to be raised as Christians. So before a meal, Jimmy Stewart prayed this prayer. "Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, harvested it. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be eating if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel. But we thank you, Lord, just the same for the food we're about to eat. Amen. Right? That's the prayer he prayed. Right? But if you watch the movie through to the end, Charlie Anderson finally breaks. He finally breaks down and he ends his private battle with God. He's lost several children, and he assumes his youngest son, whom is called the boy, is also a victim of the Civil War. To everyone's surprise, Charlie loads up the remaining family members to attend church. When Charlie walks into the church, the preacher's so surprised, he's about to fall out with a heart attack. But Charlie stands there without singing as the music service drags on. Then the back door of the church opens, and the boy comes limping in. Charlie embraces his son, and then the movie ends with everyone singing the doxology. Right? Charlie Anderson changed his mind about God and changed his life. Friend, I'm telling you, you can make the change. Amen? God has given each of us a measure of potential. A measure of potential. If you see God as a loving Father, full of grace and truth, then you will make it the goal of your life to make the most of the gifts and resources that He's given you. Zig Ziglar once wrote, "Our potential is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to Him." Thing number four. Four things I'm challenging you to embrace. Good management. Good management receives several things. Look at verses 21 and 23. We'll just read one verse. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Good management receives several things. The first thing received is the highest compliment. The highest compliment imaginable. To have Jesus Christ look us face to face, countenance to countenance, eye to eye, toe to toe, put His nail-scarred hands on us and tell us, "Well done, good and faithful slave. Good and faithful servant, good and faithful whatever." Just to have the good and faithful directed at you. That's got to be incredible, isn't it? Got to be incredible. Way back in the day, this doesn't seem that long to me, but I know it is. 1996. Who was the president in 96? Bill Clinton. 1996. Billy Graham was awarded the Congressional Gold Medal for his service to America. When he was being interviewed afterward by Diane Sawyer, he said, "I am humbled by this award, but the only recognition I'm looking forward to is when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ." Billy Graham said, "My greatest reward will be to hear Him say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Now you may be thinking, "I'm not gifted like Billy Graham." Well, who of us are, right? Who of us are? Few people are, but God has gifted you and He expects a return on what He's given you. Does that make sense? Yeah? It will be worth it all when you hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Number two, more responsibility is what we'll receive. You say, "Man, I thought we were going to be plucking harps and sitting on clouds and floating around for eternity." Not so much. There's going to be worship. "Well, I don't enjoy worship much." You're not going to really like heaven if you don't like worship. You're going to be out of luck, friend. because there's going to be a lot of worship and work going on in heaven. Man, if I was going to have my stock bass pond and my 80 acres and my mansion, friend, you're going to have a place. He's going to prepare a place for you. Amen. It's going to be glorious. It's going to fit you like a glove, right? But you're going to have more responsibility if you're faithful here. More responsibility. Thirdly, it says the joy of the Lord. What does it say? Verse 21. Enter into the joy of your master. What in the world is that? What in the world? Your scholars debate on what that is. You know what I think that is? The joy of the master. I believe this joy of the Lord, the joy of the master, are all the saved people that have come to the Lord because of your life and how you managed it. Amen? You gave that offering for that missionary. You handed off that Bible tract. You got out of your vulnerability and you presented the gospel to that family member, right? You lived a Christ-centered life at work and people knew that you were different. And you sowed a seed in their life that way. You understand what I'm saying? The joy of the Lord. All the people that have come to know the Lord because of your life and how you managed it. Now, those are the four things I'm challenging you to embrace. But let me give you some things to think about in light of this passage. The church is your partner in wisely investing God's resources. You say, well, where do I start, man? Where do I start? How about the place you're sitting right now? The place you're watching right now? The best place to start investing your time, your talent, your testimony, your treasure, it's in the church. Somebody say amen. It's right here, friend. Now, there are some hidden keys in this parable that I believe are keys to fruitful life management. I don't want you to miss. Verse 16. My Bible says, let's look at verse 16. Immediately. See what it says there? Immediately the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more. Verse 17. In the same manner. Immediately. Right? Immediately. Now, my Bible says immediately. Your King James Version, it infers that the first two slaves did not let any grass grow under their feet before they got a going with the Lord's business. That's the hidden thing I'm talking about. Immediately, right? Immediately. Number two, there's some hidden keys. Second hidden key, kept on working until the master returned. They kept on working. Now, how about you, friend? You still working? Yeah, still working? Or what are you waiting for? Still working or what are you waiting for? One of the two. You still working? Or my question would be, what are you working for? If you're still working, praise the Lord. If you're not, what are you waiting for? One of the things, I've seen it over and over again. I mean, I've been doing this going on 30 years. I've seen it over and over again. I think if there's a pattern here. You know, you see it in one church, you call to the next church, you see it again. You call to the next church, you see it again. You call to the next, you see it again. There must be a pattern. Well, what's the pattern, preacher? One of the things that has troubled me through the years of ministry is when I see people who retire from serving the Lord. They retire from serving the Lord. Now, if you get to retire from a career or a business, I mean, if you've saved the money and you've put back and you've put in and, man, your 401k or your profit sharing or whatever, you can afford to not work full time, man, that's great. Go for it. Good for you. But I do not find anything in the Word of God. Please show me if I'm missing it. I've not found it in 30 years that it says we retire from serving the Lord. I may be speaking to some Christian servants that at one time were busy for the Lord. But for the past year or 5 years or 10 years, you've buried your talent. and you've stopped serving the Lord. Remember in this parable, Jesus took the one talent. He took the one talent away from the lazy servant, and he gave it to the one with the ten. He was pronouncing a principle here we don't want to miss. You use it or you lose it. If you do not utilize God's resources, don't be surprised when they're gone. Don't be surprised. So maybe the best thing I could give you today is a shovel. Amen? Give you a shovel. I've got several. I mean, I got all shapes. I thought about bringing them up here, but it's a lot of shovels. I got the little trench shovel for digging for conduit. So if you dug a small hole, I got you covered. I've got the old sharpshooter. You're digging for plumbing, right? Longer, wider, right? It'll really get down there, right? Bust through them roots, sharp. You got to go that way. I've got three regular, I don't know what you call them, just regular shovels, right? Spade shovel. One's fiberglass handle. Two got wood handles on them. Never can have too many of those. Especially when you got four kids, you know. Here, you get one, you get one, you get one. Let's go, let's dig. Here we go, all right, right? I've got wheelbarrow. I got the little small green army shovel that folds up, you know, you put in your backpack. I got that. I got the little hand shovels. Man, you take your pick. I got you covered. Preacher, I need a shovel. Which one you want? I'm going to write my name on it. I want that shovel back. I'll give you a shovel, right? The master, see, the good news is the grace of God is this. The mercy of Jesus is this. The hallelujah is this. He's not returned yet. Amen? Quick, immediately go dig up those resources that you've buried. There's still time to invest them in the Lord's work. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for second chances and third chances and fifth chances, Lord. We've heard a message to challenge us, a word to challenge us. And Lord, if we've buried a treasure, help us dig it up. Get back in the game. Do with it what you would have us do. Bring a return. The return is always gospel-oriented. The return always deals with the salvation of the lost, glorification of who you are, the building of your kingdom. Lord, help us with the brain that you've given us. Figure it out where that treasure is, how deep that treasure's been buried, and Lord, how many shovelfuls it's going to take to get it out. So, Lord, help us. Help us do that and get that thing invested right. Lord, we thank you for all the incredible blessing that you give us. Lord, forgive us when we have failed to use what you've given to us for your glory in the building of your kingdom. And, Lord, we revel today. We celebrate that we have another chance. That, Lord, you love us so much that you give us that grace and that mercy to get it right. Lord, if we've got a skewed view of who you are, we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the preached word today, that that view might be changed to a biblical view of who you are, a God full of truth and love. And so, Lord, we love you today. We praise you. Thank you for our salvation. If there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, in a few moments when we stand, that'll be their cue, Lord, to make their way down and to inquire what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we may need to come and pray in the altar. We may just need to sing where we're at. But Lord, we seek to worship you until we finally end the service. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Jeremiah, lead us in this time of invitation. Thank you, Jeremiah. Amen, amen. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Don't forget your meeting for the President's Day Kids Fun Day, meeting down at the front as soon as the service is over. And y'all have a blessed afternoon today. We'll see some of you back here tonight at 6 for evening Bible study. And for the rest of you, have an awesome week. Let's have a closing word of prayer and you'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your church. Lord, we thank you for those that are investing and Lord, making a return on what you have so graciously given them. Lord, may they be encouraged. And Lord, just fired up all the more to keep on keeping on. Thank you, Lord, that we can serve you until you return or until you call us home. Thank you for the joy that awaits us in you. Lord, we are thankful for the examples that you have given us through the years that have pointed us in the right direction of investing everything that you've given to us for your glory and your honor. Lord, may they enjoy your joy as they are with you now. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Give us safety as we depart this place. And Lord, may we be able to say it was so good, so blessed to be in your house today. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You folks are dismissed. Don't forget your meeting.